You're listening to a Get Abstract summary of Creating a Life, a book by Sylvia Ann Hewlett. Women everywhere are talking about creating a life, which exploded into the U.S. media with a controversial and disturbing message. Career women are waiting too long to have children. Despite the uproar it has caused, Sylvia Ann Hewlett's analysis of the situation is actually quite even-handed, even if she is prone to overgeneralization. Hewlett does not attack childless women, as many have accused. Rather, she logically assesses the reasons that so many highly successful women do not have kids. Her prescriptions for the problem of high achiever childlessness might not win her any friends in feminist camps, but nevertheless, Get Abstract highly recommends that all professional women and their husbands or potential husbands read this book and decide for themselves. Successful and Childless. This analysis is based on interviews with women approaching the age of 50 who were part of the generation that broke through gender barriers and became successful in fields dominated by men. Many of the women interviewed were childless, but none had chosen not to have children. Rather, the opportunity to have children was crowded out of their lives by their high-powered careers and needy partners. The failure to have children is a widespread problem among successful women who are finding it ever harder to balance a career and children today. A woman who tries to have both a career and long-term loving relationship between the ages of 28 and 40 generally has little time to have a child. By the time women reach age 35, they often experience fertility problems since their biological ability to have a child begins to diminish. Modern reproductive technologies have, for the most part, not solved this problem for women who are 40 or older. The author of this work experienced such problems herself for many years before finally having another child at age 51. In order to get pregnant at that age, she endured several miscarriages due to long working hours and age, and spent thousands of dollars over 4 years on medical procedures. It would be much easier for high-achieving women to have both a career and children if they made finding a partner a higher priority in their 20s and early 30s. Women fall into trouble when they focus exclusively on their careers and expect their private lives to take care of themselves. When women adopt this attitude, they often leave little time to create a family. High-flying women who become business executives, lawyers, doctors, professors, or professionals in any other field face a major time crunch. They put in long work weeks and battle fierce competitive pressures. As a result, even if they have a good benefits package that includes flexible hours and childcare subsidies, they don't have time to take advantage of these resources. What women need are jobs with fewer hours and careers that they can interrupt and then return to after a few years for child rearing. These two options are not readily available. The quest for kids. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, about one-third to one-half of all high-achieving women don't have children. When the National Parenting Foundation did a study of high-achieving women in 2001, they found that about 33% between the ages of 40 and 55 are childless. Among women in corporate America, 42% have no children. However, the vast majority of these women very much want children, and many have expended great amounts of time, energy, and money in this quest. Unfortunately, only about 3% to 5% of women who try new assisted reproductive technologies, such as IVF techniques, succeed in having children. Stella Parsons, who had worked on the transition team for incoming President Bill Clinton in 1991, endured 7 failed IVF attempts and 2 failed attempts at using a surrogate mother, while spending roughly $130,000 in her attempt to have children. She and her husband took out a second mortgage to finance their efforts, but finally gave up after 2 years of failures. Playwright Wendy Wasserstein went through a 10-year struggle to have a child and finally succeeded in becoming a single mother at age 48. Although she required an emergency cesarean in her 6th month of pregnancy, due to an age-related condition, the child survived after 10 weeks of hospitalization. Wasserstein subjected herself to this series of medial efforts because she found that her failure to get pregnant erased her sense of professional competence and confidence as a woman. In her own words, she felt a frightening yearning to have a child. Wasserstein's struggle reflects an unfortunate trend. As a woman becomes more successful, the odds of her having a husband or a child diminish, in direct contrast to men who have a greater chance of possessing both as they become more successful. In 2001, 49% of all U.S. women executives earning $100,000 or more a year were childless, while only 19% of 40-year-old male executives earning that amount didn't have children, according to a National Parenting Foundation's 2001 study. In some cases, successful women have turned to adoption, but single motherhood is a difficult undertaking. As one single mother observed, "It's intensely lonely, being on my own and raising a child. There's no one to share the good times with or the bad times. There are so many hours when I crave adult companionship." High-achieving women. A January 2001 study by Hewlett, Harris Interactive, and the National Parenting Association in January 2001 defines high-achieving women as those earning more than $55,000 to $65,000, depending on age, and ultra-high achievers as those earning more than $100,000. Together, these women make up the top 10% of females in the age groups of 41 to 55 and 28 to 40. The study revealed some sobering results. First, 33% of the high-achieving women and 49% of ultra-high-achieving women are childless at 40. Second, the vast majority of these women didn't choose to be childless. Third, high-achieving women are unlikely to have a child after 39. Only 1% did. Fourth, high-achieving women are unlikely to get married after 35. Only 3% did. Fifth, only 57 to 60% of the high achievers and ultra-high achievers are married, compared to 76 to 83% of corresponding men. Sixth, high-earning women still take primary responsibility for home and children when they are married. Seventh, women with high-altitude careers are working long hours, over 50 hours, and 33% are working more than they were 5 years ago. Eighth, women entrepreneurs do better at balancing their lives than women in corporate America. Ninth, younger women are having a harder time balancing work and family. Only 45% have children at age 35, compared to 62% of the older women. Finally, employers often place more demands on employees without children. The problems: men and jobs. Most men do not want a highly successful partner. They see high-achieving women as competitors, not as the emotionally and practically supportive mates they desire. Such support is like oxygen for male egos. Because men want a woman to make them feel superior, they often look to women who are young and sexy. They don't want a peer. Older divorced men are often more open to relationships based on companionship, but these men typically aren't interested in having children. As a result, successful women often end up single or with mates who don't want children. By contrast, those who do make a conscious effort to have a more balanced life generally succeed in having children if they so desire. Literary agent Molly Friedrich, 49, left her job running the publicity department of a major publishing house so she could have a family as well as a career. Becoming a literary agent gave her the time to adjust her hours and work 3 days a week, leaving ample time for her family. The price of motherhood. Many high-achieving women face the choice of remaining childless or stepping off the career ladder. Some drop out completely, while others are forced to become like crabs, repeatedly stopping, starting, and reinventing their careers to meet their children's needs. Most young women entering the workforce today are advised to postpone childbearing as long as they can, generally at least 10 years, in order to get a huge payoff in the workplace. This is actually good advice, since a successful career is typically quite demanding in its early stages, often requiring 50 to 70-hour work weeks, business travel, extensive professional training, and stressful work environments. Women with children generally lack the support required to meet these challenges while balancing a family. Women also must contend with the wage gap. While the wage gap has narrowed for women in general, with women's salaries rising to 77% of male salaries in 1999 from 63% in 1979, it remains firmly in place for women in the highest echelons. Women in the highest salary brackets earn just 62% of their male counterparts' salaries, even with more women in executive, administrative, and managerial occupations. The responsibility for a family is a major cause of this discrepancy. Childbearing and child rearing interrupt and limit a woman's career potential and reduce her earning power. In fact, the earnings widen as women age. Women aged 25 to 29 earn 87% of what their male peers take home and keep pace over the next few years. Once women enter their prime childbearing years, however, they fall behind and just keep falling. Perceptions and misperceptions. After the age of 35, women who want children face two major challenges: the shortage of males and the growing problem of infertility. Postponing marriage and children seems like a logical choice for a woman just setting off on a promising career. But as they get older, high-achieving women face mounting competition in finding a suitable mate, not only from other accomplished women of their age, but also from a large number of younger, less accomplished women who offer men not only sex and beauty, but also attention and admiration. As women over 35 search for a mate, they are racing the biological clock. Despite medical advances, it becomes increasingly difficult for women to have a child in her late 30s, with the odds of a woman in her 40s having a child falling to the low single digits. Perhaps the most disturbing fact of all, however, is that almost all of the young women surveyed in the high-achieving women's study thought that they could get pregnant into their 40s. Solving the childlessness problem. The most effective way for a woman to increase her chances of having children is to stay married in a stable, loving relationship, even if she has to surrender part of her own ego to do so. Very few women actually raise a child out of wedlock on their own. Other solutions suggested by the high-achieving women interviewed include the creation of a time bank of paid parenting leave, a restructuring of retirement plans to eliminate the penalty for career interruptions, the option of taking a career break with up to 3 years of unpaid job-protected leave, the creation of high-level jobs with reduced hours and a reduced workload, and tax breaks for re-entry into the workforce. In short, professional women want and need life options that give them more time to balance their personal lives, professional lives, and children.